Thank you for having fun in that way. Go ahead and turn this off. Friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, the gospel reading for today presents both a problem and a solution. That's kind of a nice way for things to be. I mean, how many times does someone come in complaining about this or that, clearly articulating the problem, or at least as they see it, but with no blooming idea as to what to do about it? That's not their job, they think. That's your job. Their job is to point out, again, what they think is blatantly obvious. There's not enough coffee in the break room. The toys are always scattered around the house. I never know where to find my keys. Now, a good leader, whether a boss or a parent or a president even, might say to the person, if you come to me with a problem, I want at least two possible solutions to go with it. For Jesus, in Matthew chapter 9, the problem is a little bit more expansive and also more dire. And it's unclear whether it's a problem that Jesus uniquely sees or if others see it too. The narrator actually tells us what Jesus is experiencing and thinking. It says that Jesus was going around all the region, stopping in all of the cities and the villages and teaching in the synagogues, right? Apparently, there's a lot to like about Jesus. That matter about him being rejected in his hometown, well, that hasn't happened yet. That comes at the end of chapter 13 in Matthew. And even though some of the Pharisees are already starting to get a little suspicious of Jesus having dinner with unclean sinners like the tax collectors, there's a lot of good that Jesus has been doing. And he seems to be really popular among the regular people, especially those with illnesses and demons, and even a few dead people. The crowds really like Jesus, probably because he gets them. It reminds me of a TV commercial going around. Maybe you've seen it. It shows images of people in all kinds of difficult situations. The problems we see in the world: poverty, crime, substance abuse, but also things like political gridlock and isolation due to the fact of our fast-paced life that we live in. The ad campaign shows us all of this trouble and strife, and then it turns toward images of maybe the Bible or a group of people in prayer or worship, and it ever so briefly, but effectively, flashes an image of Jesus, a stereotypical image, a long-haired white guy with a loaf of bread maybe, or maybe Jesus being beaten or even crucified. It flashes these images, and then the words appear on the TV screen. He gets us. It's very effective. It does everything that an ad campaign is supposed to do. It draws you in. It pulls at your emotional strings. It even makes you a little bit angry at the world the way it is, and makes you ask yourself, why is the world so messed up and complicated? And then it answers its own question. At least it answers the question it wants you to think you're asking. It provides a solution to the problem it wants you to believe is the source of your anxiety: Jesus. Jesus is the answer, it says, because he gets us. And it's true even in the gospel reading today. There are things going on in our world that cause pain and grief and suffering. It says that Jesus saw the crowds and had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. It's the same as we get in the ad campaign. People are distracted and disturbed. victims of hatred and violence, helpless to withstand the forces that toss us around and make us feel small and insignificant. But where Jesus differs from the ad campaign that bears his name, or at least a cliched image of him, is that Jesus doesn't provide himself as a solution. Rather, Jesus points to his disciples. And the disciples in our day are us, you and me, the very ones whom Jesus has called to follow and learn and grow into a community of love for all people. There's an interesting little shift that happens in the words that are used to describe the ones who Jesus sends out to do this work. It mentions that, I've mentioned this before, but it bears repeating. It says that Jesus, after seeing the helpless and harassed crowds, first speaks to his disciples, giving them his perception that a harvest is ready and workers are needed. And then he calls the disciples, 12 of them, and gives them certain authority to do the things that he's been doing in all of those towns and villages that he has been visiting. In both of these verses, it uses the word disciple, follower, student, one who learns from the master. That's what disciple means, one who learns. And then when the names are listed, they're called apostles. Simon and Andrew and James and the rest. It says the names of the apostles were. The word apostle literally means one who is sent. The training is finished. The learning is done. Now it's time to get to work. There's lots more to come in this story about Jesus and how he builds a new community around a love for the marginalized, the forgotten, the oppressed, the persecuted. But in this moment, it's like a flash forward happens. And all of a sudden, the disciples are given their marching orders. And they're sent out into the world with the power to cure diseases and cast out demons and raise the dead. They're field commissioned, as it were, to be apostles. It's as if the problem has been stated, and Jesus will not let that problem hang in the air one second longer without providing a solution, without articulating exactly what needs to happen for this problem to be solved. Jesus doesn't wait. Jesus acts, putting apostles on the job, not perfectly trained or highly skilled at the work that needs to be done, but equipped and encouraged to be for the helpless and harassed a comfort, a wholeness, a cure, a life. Jesus sees the problem and Jesus gets us. And when you and I are the ones who are battered and bruised by the troubles of the world, then yes, Jesus is there with a word that will heal and lift us up. Almost always that word comes from a voice of a friend or a caregiver or someone who has been sent to bring us comfort and peace. The problem with the He Gets Us ad campaign is that we need to know not just that Jesus gets us, but that Jesus gets the ones whom we have forgotten about, whom we have pushed aside, whom we have left helpless and harassed like sheep without a shepherd. We are Jesus' disciples, eager to learn and grow in our faith, but we are also sometimes quickly, without thorough training, appointed apostles who will be sent to share this gift of Jesus' compassion to the needy, to touch the unclean, to embrace those unloved by systems in our world that benefit our own very lives of comfort. And it's both daunting and reassuring that the disciples, the apostles sent by Jesus, are given authority to cast out demons and cure the sick and raise the dead. Anyone been called to do those kinds of things lately? But indeed, this is no small inconvenience that Jesus is enlisting our help to problem solve. But the very eradication of systemic injustice, oppression, and death at the hands of an evil world. And this is the call of Jesus. Not to be fairly good people, not to read the Bible cover to cover, not to attend church and put money in the plate, although those are good things to do. Keep doing those things, especially that one about the money in the plate. To be a disciple is to be in preparation for what Jesus will call us to do. And there is graciously time and space to do that learning, to grow into those whom Jesus will call. But the call of apostleship, the call to act with bold love and holy power, well, that call is always just moments away. Is someone sick? Cure them with care. Is someone rejected and despised? Welcome them with grace. Is someone beaten by the powers of hatred? Love them with unconditional mercy and stand with them against evil. Is there death and destruction that seems insurmountable? Announce the power of God's resurrection to everlasting life, even if you, like Jesus, have to die to make it known. Because the helpless and harassed aren't problems to be solved, they're people to be loved. Just like you and I aren't left alone to solve the problems of our world, but accompanied on this journey of life by the one who has healed our wounds and raised us even when we were dead. An ad campaign might satisfy the needs of those who want to promote a commercialized Jesus for a gospel of prosperity and power. It might even pull on the strings of our egos, tempting us to believe that our own happiness is God's ultimate desire. But no ad campaign can raise the dead and cure the sick. Only apostles can do that. And yeah, he gets us. Only let's not forget that we are called to get each other.